Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Marjorie Egan and Jim Browdy. We're at the library tomorrow. The governor will join us from noon to one. Maura Healey will be with us at the library to take your questions and ours. You know, when the topic of schools comes up on our show, often it's bad news. Learning loss, economic disparities, crumbling school buildings, kids missing the mark through no fault of their own. If you're in the mood for an education segment that's a bit more uplifting, this one's for you. Over in Hyde Square, Nativity Preparatory School, easy for you to say, Jim, of Boston, offers tuition-free education for low-income boys in the city, many coming from single-parent households. A ton of the kids who enroll go on to do incredible things. One in particular ended up coming back to lead the school. We're joined now by one of those people. He's not president, Brian Marr, who's here. It's a pleasure to meet you, Brian.
Nice to meet you, Jim.
And Principal Gadissa, Goso. Did I get that right second time?
Yes, you did, yes.
Who is the alum? That's got to be great, by the way. In a couple of minutes, we're going to meet a couple of rising freshmen who've just graduated who sound terrific. But in the interim, Gadissa and Brian, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for your time.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, in the interest of full disclosure, Brian Marr's wife is one of my dear friends. And I said before we went on the air, we don't just trash schools around here. We're trashing the Catholic Church a lot around here. So I'm doing my penance right now. Got to get into heaven sooner because we're going to talk about some of the Catholic Church.
Well, let's see how it goes. Okay.
It's a really good and wonderful thing. So, Brian, let's start with you. Talk about what's the mission of Nativity Prep? What's the hope?
Sure. Since 1990, there was this idea to create a place where young men could get a transformable education, where they could come through and go through an education system that opens up doors for them, gives them choices, and then they can come back and change the trajectory of their lives, their families' lives, and the community around them. And the whole thing, you know, we are a Jesuit school, so you talk about Catholic school, we're the branch of Jesuit Catholic school in line with BC High and Boston College, but this notion that these young men are destined to be men for others, to give back to their community and to give back to their families. And we've seen it over and over again. The kids come out of Nativity Prep and they're always looking back to Nativity, which is great, but they reach out to their neighborhood, they reach out to their community, and they do amazing things.
And you don't stop your relationship. We're going to talk about that in a minute, which is one of the wonderful things. Could you just describe a little bit more fully than I did the student body, where they come from, who they are, that kind of thing?
So we work with students who are mainly from the city of Boston, who come from low-income backgrounds. We have a lot of local students, but as you know, Boston expands through many neighborhoods, so we're quite well represented by a lot of neighborhoods at our school. Our students come to us in the fifth grade, and they eventually leave in the eighth grade. So when they come to us, they are wide-eyed. They are ready for the next challenge. Oftentimes, their families are looking for better opportunities coming out of the public schools or other schools in the area. And so they're eager, and they're ready for the opportunity. And I think one of the great things, having alumni who are there working at the school sort of serve as an example, as a testament to the to the work that we do at Nativity.
That might be you as one of those
people.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I want to say, tell us how this happened for you. How did you get started in Nativity when you were a little 8 or 9 year old coming up?
So I was a student at the Tobin Elementary in Mission Hill. And there was a teacher there who saw something in me and communicated that to my mother and knew about a small school in Roxbury at the time and thought it would be a good opportunity. So my mother took me to go get to take the test, got in. And after 4 years, I went on to Groton, Stonehill College. And then I came back after Stonehill to serve as a volunteer teacher, an AmeriCorps volunteer. I thought I was going to do 2 years and move on to another career. 16, 17 years later, I'm back as principal, leading the school along with Brian. And I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity. I'm so proud and happy to be at Nativity in this role. And the view is much nicer on my side of the desk.
What's the tuition? We should have made that clear. What's the tuition?
So our tuition, there is no tuition.
Exactly.
We are a tuition-free school. And we're very fortunate to be able to provide that to all of our families. We have a lot of generous and supportive people who really believe in us and our mission. And they make it possible for our students to attend tuition-free.
Brian Marr, what's a typical day like for one of the kids there?
Oh, sure. Well, we start off each morning. Our doors open up at 7:30. And that's where they greet me at the front door with a handshake and a look in the eye. And we welcome them into the day. They start off with recess, and they play a little basketball before what we do is we gather together in a group at morning assembly. And we have announcements, we do roll call, and one of the important nativity traditions is the students don't answer here, they answer ready. And that's one of the things that's been passed on for over 33 years, that they're ready to start their day. Then we gather in prayer, and prayer takes all kinds of forms because we are a Catholic school, but we have all different faiths and no faiths represented throughout the school, but everybody comes together, and it's so unique to hear them pray for their families, for their friends, for the world around them, and for everything else going on. And then they enter the academic day, and they go straight through academics until 3 o'clock. Then we do afternoon sports and activities. And then three nights a week, we serve dinner. So we are providing an incredible wraparound experience that starts 7:30 in the morning and ends at 6:30 at night.
Are those nighttime things mandatory for the kids?
The whole school, from the school morning till the end, is mandatory.
It is.
So, yeah.
And obviously, these kids are doing extraordinarily well. You said you went to Groton. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to a young man a little while. He's going off to Phillips Andover, which is mm-hmm. a pretty hotshot school. Mm-hmm. And you talk about how you keep following these children. We did a very sad story a while ago about the Boston Public Schools, a valedictorian from the Boston Public Schools, mm-hmm. different high schools, whether it was, you know, Brighton High, South Boston High. They would, smart kids got scholarships, mm-hmm. but they didn't understand enough about the money that may come and go in college, and they dropped out. You keep with them right through high school?
Yes. That is one of the things I think separates our school from many others. We have a graduate support office, and the purpose of that office is to stay with our students after they graduate to eighth grade. Many of our students do enter rigorous high schools, a lot of private high schools in the area, and a lot of times our students are the first ones in their families to attend such schools. And trying to navigate a private school world can be difficult for our families, many of them immigrants, and or maybe English is not their first language. So our office supports our students and their families through the high school process, financial aid, applying to the schools. And then similarly for college, we do stay with our students through college because college access and success is a big part, a big goal of ours in trying to support our students all the way through. And that's something that is very unique for a middle school.
What does the data show on that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what does the data show? We've related some horrible data in terms of graduation rates, mm-hmm. how long kids stay in school. You can give the hard numbers if you haven't. What's the data show coming out of Nativity Prep?
Absolutely. So high school is very important to us, and we make sure that all of our students attend high school after Nativity Prep. We are very proud to say that we have a 99% high school graduation rate. Essentially, every single student that has come through Nativity Prep has graduated from high school. I think if you take a step further and you look at the numbers for college, as we know, graduation rates, especially for students of color, not very high in terms of national average. Our averages are double and triple what the national average is. I mean, we're still striving to get the most number of students, but we are very proud of the work that we do, and we think that our graduate support office and sticking by our families through all of those difficult processes is very helpful for them in making sure that they actually graduate from college.
We're talking to the principal and the president of Nativity Preparatory School of Boston.
So what lessons have you learned that you think are transferable to the public schools? Because obviously not everybody's going to be able to go in Nativity Prep, but maybe there are some ideas that could be adopted.
Well, one of the things I've learned is that, you know, as Gadis was talking about, the graduate support and the ongoing time after middle school. And Nativity was started because middle school is so critical. You know, elementary school kids can do very well, but when you get into all of the different factors of life that happen in middle school, kids tend to fall off into the cracks. Now, us staying with them, but then sticking with them for the long haul, knowing that there's somebody as they go through high school to help them and their families navigate the whole college selection process and the financial processes that go through that. So I think looking at the long term, that it's not just one and done for 4 years in the middle school, that you really do have to stick with them and just be as a guide and a support. And that's what we do. And a couple of years ago, there was we had a cookout with a bunch of alumni, and they all came back and they're all talking about their middle school. And these are men in their 30s. And I was like, what are you guys doing still talking about your middle school? And one guy jumped up, slammed his hand on the table, and said, it set me up for everything good in my life. And I just thought, that's because we stuck with him.
You know,
Gadissa, how about the girls? What happened to the young girl who's got the same sort of bio as that little boy, young boy, that is lucky enough to go to Nativity Prep? What do they do?
So that's a good question. We do have a lot of siblings at our school who happen to be sisters. There is a school that is not far from us, Mother Caroline Academy. It is a nativity model school, so it's similar to us, extended day, extended year, that serves girls from the city of Boston in a similar way that we do with our boys. There's another school, the Epiphany School, as well in Dorchester, which is similarly based on our model. The three schools are always in touch with one another, and we have open lines of communication, and we send students to them.
Can you also answer, I should have done this in proper order, what the question that Brian Marr was just asked about the replicability. One of the few things Margie and I argue about a lot
constantly.
On the air.
Just a few?
Is education. one of my attitude, and Marjorie has been advocating for a long time to have you in, and I'm really thrilled you're here, and we can't wait to meet the young graduates, recent graduates, in a minute or two. My attitude is, as wonderful as your work seems to be, I'm really not that interested in unless it can be replicable. Because the reality is the vast majority of kids are not going to go to nativity prep. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to a public school or parochial, whatever they're going to do. So are the things you can add to what your colleague Brian said a minute ago about what you think public schools could learn from the model that your colleagues have helped create and advance?
So I think one of the things, in addition to what Brian had mentioned about sticking with our students after they graduate, is actually what we do during the day.
Like what?
Not only do we provide the academic space for students to come and learn, but we also provide the enrichment opportunities in the afternoon. In addition to that, we also provide academic support for our students in the afternoon as well, whether it's working with tutors.
That's huge.
We have a partnership with Boston College and the Pulse program. They send 8 to 10 tutors every week to work with our students in the afternoon. I think it's we have to take an approach that goes beyond just the classroom and make the most of our time that we have with our students while they're in the building. And a lot of times that includes addressing the whole child. So not just the class, but the mind, body, and spirit.
Don't
as
you
well.
Do a summer camp thing too?
Yes, which is another big thing. You know what we always argue about, and I'm right about this and you're wrong about this. We still operate the schools, the public schools in America, like mom is home.
No,
mom
I
is
totally
home,
agree with you on
and,
this.
You know, and I everybody's totally getting the harvest in the summertime, whatever. They're doing in the summertime. We all had farms. So, you know, most people don't have the money unless they can get it for free. An after-school program, even if you're making good money, those are so expensive. Or summer camps are so expensive. You kind of operate all year. Tell about the summer camp deal.
We do. So we start, we're on a little bit of a break now till July 5th. And then we're going to run an intensive 3-week academic program. And then in addition to that, for the other weeks of the school, we have an incredible benefactor who has allowed the kids the option to attend a camp at a local private school, Dexter Southfield. And they've been great partners. And so for a family, they can have their kid connected for 9 weeks of the summer as they go through that. But they're always busy. It's outdoor activities. It's academics. It's learning. For us, we say that our next academic year starts on July 5th.
Great. So what's the horrible thing we haven't asked you about? Tell us. Come on. This is... What's
well,
the
I can
secret?
Tell you, it's,
go ahead.
You know, we are privately funded, we have to raise all of the money that we do every year to support these kids, to give them the same experiences that kids everywhere else would have. You know, and they do. We've got benefactors who take them to a box at the Celtics game, who take them to the symphony, who do all of these incredible things to give these young men just a really well-rounded experience and to pay the teachers to teach them well. So.
It's a pleasure.
So if people want to donate, just look up Nativity
Prep. Or learn
prep.
More or something.
Nativityboston.org.
Nativityboston.org. Okay.
You happy now that they're here?
Yes, I'm very
happy. You can stop talking about it.
I'm very happy.
I'm
and we have
we're
an
really
even...
thrilled to have you.
Wait till you talk to the guys.
We cannot wait. We're going to do that, actually. We want to thank you both for being here. We've been talking to Brian Marr. He's the president of Nativity Preparatory School of Boston, and the principal, who's also a graduate, Gadissa Goso. In a minute, we're going to be joined by two of the recent graduates, and we can't wait to meet them both. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This is great.
So a couple of minutes ago, we were joined by the president and principal. The principal also happens to be an alum of Nativity Preparatory School of Boston. Now we're joined by two rising freshmen, brand new graduates of Nativity. Yasin Andino is here, and Robel Gabre, they're both joining us to talk about what their experience was like at Nativity. Gentlemen, it's great to have you here, and congratulations on your graduation.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Yasin. Tell us... I suppose you want to say the things you liked about Nativity, but you could also say what you didn't like.
What was it like, right?
Yeah, what was your experience there?
So my experience at Nativity was pretty great.
Yeah.
So I liked all the learning subjects, and I especially liked the academic help you could get, because sometimes your grades will fall behind because their workload is, it's rigorous, but it's only to prepare you for the future. So I liked how academically challenging it was, and I liked how it got me into sports, really, because I didn't really do sports before I went to Nativity.
Aren't you a big-time shot putter or something, we heard?
All-American shot putter?
I am an All-American in
you
shot
are?
Putter. Yes.
You're an All-American?
Yes.
Oh, my. So before we get to your buddy
Jim
here...
Jim does a little shot putting.
Yeah, but I don't think so. So, by the way, I did the discus one day when I was young, and I went further than the discus did when I threw it. That's a topic for another day. So when you go home, the kid who lives next door or your friend who goes to, let's say, a public school... doesn't have those extra hours, doesn't have to do this nighttime stuff. Are you jealous of his or her freedom, or how do you feel about that, Yasin?
If I'm going to be honest, I used to be a little bit jealous. But as time went on in Nativity, I only realized that it's preparing me for the future. And I stopped getting jealous, and I really started to appreciate the opportunity and the help and the extra opportunity I got.
Great. Okay, Robel, so another recent graduate. What was your experience like?
He gave the speech at
graduation. I know, we'll get to that. Tell us what your experience was like.
My experience at Nativity was very amazing. And the experience at Nativity, the school gave me a lot of opportunities for me and my class to experience. It was something that was better than any other experience I've ever had at any other school I've
How
been
so?
To.
How so? Like what in particular?
Well, first of all, they prepare you very greatly for high schools. We have two counselors for the whole class. One's name is Malik Richards, and the other one's name is Mr. Etheridge, mm-hmm. Or Xavier Etheridge. And they both prep us for high schools, such as practicing high school interviews for us to be well-prepared for the actual interviews. And they also prepare us by hiring a teacher for test prepping for the SAT. His name was Dr. Hawes. He was an amazing teacher. It was great to have him. And yeah.
Where are you going to high school?
I'm going to Boston College High School.
Congratulations. Where are you going to high school?
I'm going to Phillips Andover Academy.
Congratulations to
you
both.
Two very hotshot schools, wow. No question about it. So what did you talk about in your graduation speech?
Well, what I mainly talked about at the start of my graduation speech was about the climate change protest that the whole school hosted. And it was mainly about creating signs and marching through Green Street, and the experience that me and the rest of my school had walking down and protesting for a serious cause that's still going on today. And after that, I moved on to generally about how I felt about our class and the experiences we've had together. And it was something more broad than the first experience that I talked about. And I talked about how important it was to be a part of the class of Foley, which is our class name.
Yasin, how good was his speech?
His speech was very good. I kind of didn't expect it to be that good, but he's a great student. So.
Thank you.
Why didn't you expect him to be that good?
I didn't expect him to be that good because sometimes he gets a little nervous. Oh, and sometimes yeah. He messes up.
So, Yasin, you were in a different school, first, second, third, fourth grade, right? How was that school you were in different?
That school that I was in was different because it was less of a family, because at Nativity it makes a brotherhood, it makes your teachers, your older brothers, make them all feel like family.
Yeah.
But at my old school, the academics were very good, but it wasn't as great, and the academics weren't as rigorous.
Yeah.
Robel, you were shaking your head when your buddy over here, Yasin, was talking about the family feel, this closeness. Describe that in your own words. What was it like for you?
Well, Nativity prides itself on creating a true brotherhood for the community, and in a very tight school with not that many people as a normal public school, we're a lot more closer to each other, and we're able to talk and communicate with each other when there's anything we're feeling about our experience at Nativity or outside Nativity.
See, good shot putter?
Yeah.
He is? Okay, so. I just want to be clear.
You know, Mom's over there. I don't know if we can get her on the microphone just for a second to tell us why, how this happened that you chose
Nativity. This is Yasin's mother, we should
say. Yeah, how'd you find out about Nativity?
What's your first name, by the way?
Dominique.
Dominique, get a little closer to the mic, Dominique. It's great to have you.
Well, my nephews attended Nativity, and he was so excelling at the school that he was going to in New York that they even suggest to look for outside sources that were better than them. So they, since he was in kindergarten, they gave me the he has a thing.
Okay.
So how happy were you with his years there?
I'm still crying happy tears about it.
Yeah.
So before you guys go, starting with you, Robel, what do you want to do with yourself? Do you know? I mean, obviously high school, BC High School is the next step. What are your goals?
I would probably say that I want to execute a profession in the mainstream of engineering and wanted to go to MIT to further pursue my engineering prowess, you know.
How about you, Yasin? What do you want to do?
I would also like to pursue a future in engineering.
Really?
And I want to, for college, I want to go to Stanford. And
you know who else went to Stanford? That woman right there, by the way.
Yes, I heard about that. And I think I might move to a different country for business, because America is a place where a lot of different professions are excelling, but engineering is one of the professions that are very good, but isn't as great as in places like China or Japan. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, you are two impressive people and great models for your wonderful school. It's great to meet you.
Yeah.
We wish you a huge
you
amount
so
of
much.
Luck in your future
thank
endeavors,
you.
And thanks for your time
yeah,
today.
Yeah, very
thank
much.
You.
Congratulations
enjoy the summer.
For coming in. And yeah, do you get to go to the summer camp this summer, or do they boot you out because you graduated?
we get to boot right in the butt.
Okay.
Beautifully put, yes.
Well, good luck to you both in high school.
You're
and thank
great
you
guys.
Very much for coming in. And
really
thank
you
very
you.
Much, Mom, for coming
no
in
thank
as
you.
Well.
No
I much appreciate it.
Thank you
okay, we did just speak with the adults who make Nativity Prep what it is, President Brian Marr and Principal Gadisa. Thank you. Go so. And also, you know, this is a lesson. That even if you can't pronounce names,
you too can have a career
on talk radio. It's not gotten in the way.
Okay.
And Yasin Andi and Robel Gabre.
Andino, but that's okay.
Okay, sorry.
You regardless.
Yasin is
going to
be a freshman at Phillips Academy in Andover, and Robel enrolled at BC High. Congratulations to you both, and thank you very much
thanks,
for coming.
Thanks, gentlemen.
And I apologize.
Mother.
I apologize for goofing up the names. After a quick break, we're opening the lines. Getting to a more mundane topic, air fryers. Apparently, air fryers have captured the hearts and stomachs of Americans. We want to know if you're among them. This is the most popular story today in the Washington Post, a story about, of all things, air fryers. What advice do you have for the air afraid among us? 877-301-8970. And should Jim install an air fryer here in Studio 3? You're listening to Boston Public Radio, 89.7 GBH.